This morning, America's First News starts right after this. Did you know that right now, GEICO is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's 15% on top of what GEICO could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit GEICO.com to learn more.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Reopenings, reversing. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Rasa Kay, who's in for Jennifer Koshenka, on this Thursday, July 2nd. Thanks for being with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
California, the first state to impose broad stay-at-home restrictions, is again ordering the closure of bars and prohibiting indoor dining.
Once predicted to be a summer of love in a police-free zone in Seattle, a protest area has been shut down because of its dangerous conditions.
President Trump says he's all for masks, but questions whether they should be mandatory.
And for summer vacationers who may be starting a getaway today, what to know about airports since the coronavirus hit.
We all know that the air travel experience is one that's seen tremendous change in the past few months as it's tried to adapt to these really uncertain and unexpected times.
Melanie Lieberman at The Points Guy on navigating the risks of air travel these days. With the U.S. seeing its biggest one-day spike since the start of the coronavirus pandemic, more governors are dialing back plans to reopen their economies. Cases shot up by nearly 50,000 yesterday. California Governor Gavin Newsom is ordering the closure of bars, a ban on indoor dining, and other restrictions in 19 counties, representing 7 of every 10 residents.
We have specifically targeted our efforts to close indoor operations.
Georgia Governor Brian Kemp has a heads up for July 4th weekend.
Do the right thing, especially going into this weekend where there will be, you know, gatherings and cookouts and other things. Practice social distancing. It works. Wear a face mask if you can't socially distance.
Elsewhere, Texas again topped its previous record in new cases, while South Carolina reported 24 more coronavirus deaths. That's a single-day high. Tennessee and Alaska also had record numbers of new cases yesterday. Also, New Mexico Governor Michelle Grisham says authorities would aggressively enforce mandatory mask rules. President Trump says he was not told about a reported Russian effort to get the Taliban to kill U.S. soldiers because many U.S. intelligence officials doubted its veracity. Reuters says that's a stance contradicted by four of its U.S. and European sources and by its inclusion in a widely read CIA report in May. White House National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien said yesterday the U.S. will respond strongly if it is confirmed that Russia paid militants to kill U.S. and allied soldiers in Afghanistan.
It may now be impossible to get to the bottom of this because some government official somewhere decided to leak allegations before we had a chance to get to the bottom of it.
The New York Times, which broke the story last week, has reported that Mr. Trump received a written briefing on the matter in February. Mr. O'Brien said a CIA civil servant decided not to brief the president verbally because, quote, she didn't have confidence in the intelligence. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi now says the U.S. must immediately impose sanctions on Russia. The White House said it will deliver a briefing later today. Let's get insight on a couple of topics consuming much of Capitol Hill right now, and that's the resurgence in some areas for the coronavirus and reports of these Russian bounties on U.S. soldiers in Afghanistan. Tennessee Congressman Mark Green can speak to both since he's a combat vet who served in Afghanistan and is also an emergency room doctor. Congressman, what's up in the volunteer state?
Yeah, you know, we've actually seen an increase in cases, and that's expected because we're tuning up our tests. I mean, we're testing more people, so you know, that obviously means that there are more people going to be positive. What we haven't seen, though, is an increase in hospitalizations and death. Ours have stayed pretty stable, which supports the overall theme that, you know, the mortality of this thing is decreasing, or what we're becoming more aware of people who are infected. So we're in a good place. If you look at our ventilator usage and our ICU usage, we've got about 70% of our ICU beds occupied, only about 20%, 25%, that range of our ventilators are being used. So we're in a good place.
So what makes Tennessee then different from, say, Texas, Florida, Arizona, California, where we're seeing these kind of recurrences? Is it really a population density thing, or are you doing something different?
You know, I think it's probably just the activities over the last several, you know, weeks. Those states that are further south probably have more people going to beaches and things like that. You know, we've got lakes in Tennessee which tend to separate people on boats. But I think it's just those summer activities are slightly different between the states.
Look forward to fall here for just a moment. Football, kids back in school with in-person instruction. You want to take a stab at that? Is what might happen?
I think we'll definitely see increased cases. I mean, we're going to continue to see cases until we hit that, herd immunity level. And I think if the transmission rate is two people, if one person gives it to two people, to have effective herd immunity that would stop the virus spread, you need 50%. If it's one person infects three, then you need 66% of the population to have been affected. So I anticipate there'll be continued folks getting the illness. Hopefully we can continue to protect those who are vulnerable that have a higher mortality and critical disease with this thing and just ride it out. I mean, that what we need to be focused on is our ventilators and our ICU beds and, you know, just continue testing, do serologic testing, and understand the mortality of this thing better.
Medically speaking, given your experience as a doctor here, how are we doing as a nation addressing this, what, 3+ months in?
I was just watching a video from the journal, Wall Street Journal, on vaccine development in this thing. And one of the things they said they actually cited as contributing to this rapid ability to get a vaccine out there so much faster than normal is, and the exact words were, tremendous and overwhelming support from the government, meaning, you know, President Trump and all that he's done, and of course some of the bills that we've passed in Congress. So I think medically you're going to see a vaccine a lot sooner. The therapeutics have been vetted. We know that dexamethasone, an old-time steroid, is working great at saving people's lives once they go on the ventilator. You know, we are doing studies on the antivirals. Remdesivir has shown a tremendous benefit, and they're testing it now, you know, earlier in the disease process. So lots of good things happening on the science front.
We're speaking with Congressman Mark Green from Tennessee. Give me a read as a combat vet and somebody who served in Iraq and Afghanistan on this Russia bounty story. What do you make of this?
Here's what we know for sure. And what we don't know for sure. First, what we don't know for sure. We don't know for sure if a Russian paid a Taliban member to kill an American. We don't know that for sure. But what we do know for sure is that there's an intelligence operatives in our own government who hate this president so much, they'll leak, you know, uncorroborated classified information. So that's what we don't know and what we do know. And it should be scary to every American. And we need to dig into this and find out what's going on in our intelligence community that makes them so partisan that they put the security of America at risk to get rid of a president.
Well, broadly speaking, you can put nothing past Russia, right? I mean, I guess it wouldn't be surprising.
Yeah, absolutely. That doesn't surprise me. They attacked us in Syria. You know, their Russian-supported mercenaries attacked an American, you know, special force there. Of course, that didn't work out well for them because we have a president that fights back. So, yeah, I mean, you can't – the scenario is not unlikely.
I was going to say, you're on the House subcommittee, right, for intelligence and counterterrorism. Did you see these briefings that were supposedly had this information about Russian bounties?
No, there's been nothing in the Homeland Security subcommittee on intel on that issue.
Thanks, Congressman. Tennessee Congressman Mark Green.
For streaming, creating, gaming, and more, power your passions for less during Dell's exceptional cyber savings event. Enjoy up to $400 off stunning laptops like the XPS, along with high-performance desktops and next-level Alienware systems, redefining what's possible with 10th-gen Intel Core processors. Shop special prices on top-brand electronics and accessories, plus enjoy free shipping on everything. Don't forget to ask for Intel when you call 800-BUY-DELL. That's 800-BUY-DELL.
Hey, glad you're with us. Welcome into Thursday. The protest zone that Seattle's mayor predicted would be a summer of love is now being shut down because of dangerous conditions. Seattle Mayor Jenny Durkan declared an end to the self-styled police-free zone known as CHOP, or the Capitol Hill Organized Protest Area. Police yesterday dismantled it. Seattle police said they made 36 arrests in the zone for failure to disperse, obstruction, resisting arrest, and assault. Police said one of those arrested, a 29-year-old man, was in possession of a large metal pipe and a kitchen knife when he was taken into custody. Here's Mayor Durkan.
We worked very purposefully over the last weeks to make sure that those who were there for protest could exercise their First Amendment rights. But then as things started to change, we saw many of the protesters leave, and with large national attention, other people attracted to the area.
The Seattle police chief said CHOP had become lawless and brutal, saying she was stunned by the amount of graffiti, garbage, and property destruction left behind. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Here's Rasa Kay.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Ahead of the 4th of July holiday weekend, California Governor Gavin Newsom has announced aggressive coronavirus restrictions, ordering indoor businesses across 19 counties, including restaurants and museums, to close or in some cases move their operations outside as the state grapples with a resurgence of coronavirus cases. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio says the reopening of indoor dining expected next week there is postponed.
Even a week ago, honestly, I was hopeful we could, but the news we have gotten from around the country gets worse and worse all the time.
Number two.
Both houses of Congress have now approved a bill to extend the Paycheck Protection Program, forgivable loans to small businesses hurt by the coronavirus pandemic. The measure, which President Trump's expected to sign into law, extends the deadline to request relief to August 8th. Mr. Trump told Fox Business he'd favor another round of stimulus checks to Americans, too.
I support it, but it has to be done properly, and I support actually larger numbers than the Democrats, but it's got to be done properly.
Number three.
A suspect in the case of a soldier who disappeared from her Texas base in April took his own life as police were closing in, according to officials. Private First Class Vanessa Gillen was last seen in a Fort Hood parking lot after allegations she'd been sexually harassed by a superior, family attorney Natalie Quaham.
Many people recommended, why don't you just report it formally to your command and such? But she was afraid to, because the command, obviously, the sexual harassment was coming from her superiors. So her concern was the retaliation.
Army investigators say a tip led them to partial human remains in a shallow grave near the base. Richmond, Virginia Mayor LeVar Stoney has ordered the immediate removal of city-owned Confederate statues, saying it's become a matter of public safety as racial justice protesters gather at them daily. A crowd was there to watch the Stonewall Jackson statue on Monument Avenue come down yesterday. A New York judge has ruled Simon & Schuster can move forward with printing and shipping President Trump's niece's tell-all memoir about the first family. Mary Trump's book is due for publication on July 28th. The court left the temporary restraining order in place for Mary Trump until a hearing on July 10th.
All right. Thank you, Rasa. Thanks for joining us. As the U.S. reemerges from months-long lockdowns and quarantines, Americans are eager to get outside and enjoy summertime. But what is considered safe? Heading to the airport today, perhaps, en route to a July 4th vacation? Tips from Melanie Lieberman, senior travel editor at The Points Guy. Melanie, set this up.
Everything is different now, really, from the last time most of us have been on an airplane. We are aware that people are ready to get back out there and hit the road. So we really wanted to take a step back and talk to the experts and medical professionals about how travelers can travel safely this summer. What are the safest modes of transportation, and where can you go, and what can you do, and more importantly, how can you minimize your risk every step of the way? So we all know that the air travel experience is one that's seen tremendous change in the past few months as it's tried to adapt to these really uncertain and unexpected times.
All right, so start with something like as soon as you show up to the airport, you get dropped off for your long-term parking, whatever you do, and then you walk inside the physical airport. There's the kiosk, right, where we expect to insert our credit card and take out a boarding pass or do it virtually. What's the whole process like now?
Yeah, one of the things that's really important for travelers to remember is that when you think about flying, it's not just getting on the airplane, right? There are so many steps that you usually have to take to even get to the gate. So often the first part of that process is checking in. And we asked experts about the check-in process, and they pretty much all agreed that the important things for travelers to keep in mind these days are how can you steer clear of crowds, avoid high-touch surfaces, avoid long exposure to other people, and get fresh air. So the way that applies to the airport experience is if you can check in at a kiosk, that may be preferable to talking to a gate agent, but even more so because a kiosk is a very high-touch area. If you can use a mobile app and check in online at home before you even leave the airport, you're already lowering your risk for exposure.
Which would mean check in your bags too, right, to do as much as you can.
Do as much as you can in advance. You know, if you have to drop your bag off at a conveyor belt, but you've already checked in online and you've already got your bag tags printed out, again, that might be a time when you have to use a kiosk. But the more you can do on your own without interacting is going to minimize your risk. And then again, there's only so much people can do. So that means taking precautions like washing your hands or using hand sanitizer after you use those kiosks, maybe even wiping them down before you use them.
Right. We're speaking with Melanie Lieberman, senior travel editor at The Points Guy. We're talking about navigating air travel these days. What's next in that chain? Is it the TSA?
Yeah, usually people are going to head straight to security after that. And the real important things to keep in mind is that you might not have a lot of control over the situation. People are waiting in line, and airports are being pretty good about keeping people spaced out and letting people wear masks. But those are things that you want to be mindful of as well.
Thanks, Melanie. Melanie Lieberman, senior travel editor at The Points Guy. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. With all that COVID-19 is doing to the economy, every single one of us is taking another look at how we spend our money. And if you're like me, you were already frustrated trying to keep all your accounts, spreadsheets, statements, and portfolios straight. But there's a better way. Organize all your finances in one place with Quicken, so it's easy to see it all, manage it all, and reach your goals with confidence. Quicken breaks down your spending automatically so you can be smart and maximize your savings. You'll have everything you need to review every detail of your finances. And with over 17 million users, Quicken's been the most trusted personal finance software for over 30 years, and it's only getting better. Saving for your kids' college fund? Planning for retirement? Let Quicken help you meet your goals. And right now, you can try it risk-free. Get the peace of mind and freedom that comes with taking better control of your finances today. Try Quicken risk-free for 30 days and get 25% off when you go to quicken.com/Gordon. That's 30 days risk-free and 25% off when you go to quicken.com/Gordon.
Behind the headlines. Above the noise, you're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Thursday, July 2. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, she's actually off today. Rasa Kay is in. Some of our top stories and headlines. California again shuts down bars and indoor dining as coronavirus cases jump. Seattle police dismantle a protest zone because of violence. U.S. manufacturing sector expanded in June for the first time in 3 months. Two jobs reports due out today expected to show that the economy is clawing back millions of lost jobs, even though hundreds of thousands are being laid off. And the mystery shopper, confusing and frustrating online merchants. We'll have that story in about 20 minutes. A story by the New York Times reveals yet again how confusing the American healthcare system is. Two people from Texas took the same COVID-19 test at the same emergency center in Austin. Both tests came back negative. Then came their bills. One bill, $199. The other, $6,400. How is this possible? And what does it say about the U.S. healthcare system? Analysis from Seth Denson, founder of GDP Advisors, an employee benefits firm in Dallas. Seth, the lack of transparency is insane.
It is, isn't it? And I mean, listen, this is an everyday in the life of healthcare in the United States. I mean, it's something I write about in The Cure, which is that, you know, based on the minute that you go in or at the time or who sees you, your bill could vary greatly. And this is the challenge that we have in a society where we allow the healthcare system to operate behind the veil of insurance networks, where you don't really understand the true cost of things until after you've had services rendered.
How does this continue to be an issue?
Well, because nobody's addressing it from a legislative perspective, right? I mean, politicians are great about sound bites and talking points and Sunday morning talk shows, but they're not really great about action, about actually doing something that would allow the American consumer to do what it does best, which regulates. The American consumer is the greatest regulator of all in our economic system, but they need the information to do it. And so we need Washington to step in and create a structure wherein these healthcare providers have to be transparent about their pricing before you have services rendered to them, to you, not long after.
Wow. All right. So explain some of the basics of what folks have gone through here, just with regards to COVID testing.
Well, so understand that legally, right, as part of the CARES Act, was that insurers are required to cover the cost of the COVID testing, and the federal government stepped in and said, if you don't have insurance, we'll cover it. Here's the challenge. That's for certain tests, and there are a number of tests that are out there now. There's antibody tests. There are tests that may be performed out of network at a non-network facility, emergency care centers that will send tests to labs that aren't in network. There's just a whole web of moving parts here. And so for that reason, the story that the New York Times ran out of Texas, where two people went to the same place and had a very different experience. And so one paid cash and was in and out for $200. The other one ran it through their insurance, and by the time the insurance was run, it was over a $6,000 bill. And so, you know, this is the sad reality of life. And so what I always tell people in our economic system of healthcare is you have to act like it's you're buying anything else. You have to ask questions. And always, always default to cash first. Ask before you get in and show your insurance card, what is the cash price for this service? And oftentimes you'll find it's significantly less than if you run it through your insurance.
That's unbelievable. And why would that be?
Well, there's two reasons. One is the insurance networks are very complex. And so doctors recognize that once it runs through the insurance, the ability to get money and payments takes time. There's challenges. There's the whole discounted services conundrum of what the insurance needs to show their quote-unquote value. And so the ability to just tell a provider, hey, I'm giving you money now. You're not waiting on it. You're not going to have to submit anything. There's no administrative overhead. A lot of times they'll say, done. Give it to me and let's move on down the road.
We're speaking with Seth Denson, health insurance expert, also co-founder of GDP Advisors. He's got a book, too, called The Cure, A Blueprint for Solving America's Healthcare Crisis. What else we need to keep in mind here?
Well, again, I think the key thing is never allow anything to happen to you without asking questions first. You want to understand what the cost is going to be. Obviously, there's times where you're incapacitated in emergency services, so there's not much you can do there. But if you're going in electively to have something done, you know, ask for the price up front. And if they're not willing to give it to you, go somewhere else. There's plenty of places that'll give you treatment.
So when you talk about negotiating a bill that you may receive, you're talking about negotiate it with the health insurance company or with the doctor's office or the hospital itself or what or all?
With the providers themselves, whether that's the hospital facility, whether that is the doctor. There is no negotiating with the insurance company. They're going to do what they're going to do per their contract. So your power lies within the end person that wants your money. And so negotiate directly with them, offer them a settlement, offer them a payment plan, whatever makes sense for you and your financial situation. But don't just take the bill on face value, pay it, and move on down the road.
Thanks, Seth. Seth Denson, founder of GDP Advisors. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
For streaming, creating, gaming, and more, power your passions for less during Dell's exceptional cyber savings event. Enjoy up to $400 off stunning laptops like the XPS, along with high-performance desktops and next-level Alienware systems, redefining what's possible with 10th-gen Intel Core processors. Shop special prices on top-brand electronics and accessories, plus enjoy free shipping on everything. Don't forget to ask for Intel when you call 800-BUY-DELL. That's 800-BUY-DELL.
Thanks for being with us. It's not just you. A lot of people are exhausted. If people were hoping to at least catch up on some much-needed sleep during the lockdowns, things may not have worked out the way they hoped. A new study on behalf of Lisa Sleep suggests that life during lockdown has left many Americans feeling more exhausted than before. Out of 2,000 Americans surveyed about the impact of the pandemic on their sleep schedules, 6 in 10 responded they've had more trouble sleeping than they normally do. A similar number said their sleep schedules had become inconsistent during the lockdown. Also, 63% reportedly fear the damage to their sleep schedules will be permanent. Other findings, about half of respondents said they used television to help them fall asleep, including binge-watching shows until the early hours of the morning. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Rasa Kay.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
California Governor Gavin Newsom.
Please do not take your guard down. Please do not believe those that somehow want to manipulate the reality.
The daily number of coronavirus cases in the U.S. topped 50,000 for the first time, prompting Newsom and other leaders to dial back reopenings ahead of the holiday weekend. Effective immediately, business sectors in 19 counties across California must close indoor operations, from restaurants to wineries to theaters and arcades. Bars are ordered to close completely, even if they're operating outside.
Number two.
An about-face from President Trump on covering his face. He told Fox Business while he doesn't believe in making them mandatory nationwide, he supports wearing masks against coronavirus.
I'm all for masks. I think masks are good. I would wear, if I were in a group of people and I was close.
You would wear one.
Oh, I would. Oh, I have. I mean, people have seen me wearing one.
Number three.
Deerfield, Illinois-based construction equipment manufacturer Caterpillar has reportedly been importing products made at a forced labor camp, a violation of federal law. Axios reports Caterpillar is working with a China-based clothing supplier, part of a coercive labor program known as Yan Jade Aid, part of the assimilation campaign targeting the predominantly Muslim Uyghur ethnic minority. Police in Revere, Massachusetts say the public helped lead them to arrest a local man accused of spray painting several swastikas on a car owned by a Muslim woman and writing "white power" on a street last month. Jason Pugliaca is charged with defacing property and property damage for the purpose of intimidation. The death toll is over 100 at this hour and mounting at a landslide at a jade mine in northern Myanmar, the center of the world's largest and most lucrative jade mining industry. Miners who scavenge for bits of jade usually work and live at the base of the mounds of earth, which become unstable during the rainy season. Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf signed 19 new bills into law yesterday, including one that removes licensing barriers so workers with criminal records can more easily obtain professional licenses. But two others repeal the Sunday Tennis Act and the Sunday Polo Act. So now you'll be able to legally play polo or tennis in the state of Pennsylvania on a Sunday before 1 p.m.
Oh, are bookings available right now? Can I get a time at 11?
You better jump.
Okay. For more than a year, online merchants selling items ranging from kayaks to keychains have puzzled over the mystery shopper with the generic name behind thousands of abandoned carts. For example, John Smith started shopping early on a recent Wednesday, didn't stop for days. The Wall Street Journal says he visited an auto supply site where he loaded his cart with a replacement turn signal lever and an emergency strobe light, hopped over to a home goods merchant for another 10 items, including a towel rack, ordered one of every kind of baby bundles from a site that sells infant sleeping boxes. When the roughly 48-hour spree was over, John Smith did what he always does. He walked away without buying anything. Turns out the mystery shopper is a Google bot. The purpose? Making sure the all-in price for a product matches the listing on its Google shopping platform or in advertisements. That'll do it for this hour. For Rasa Kay, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Did you know that right now, GEICO is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's 15% on top of what GEICO could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit GEICO.com to learn more.